you put some bass back in my guitar? I think there's like a low cut on it.
Box this week is going to be for the Florida United Methodist Children's Home, and they do an amazing job. job of caring for kids who have been neglected or abandoned. And so we encourage you to pray about giving generously, and you can do that at the wooden boxes that you see as you leave. There is lunch. I forgot to mention that at the last service. If you are able to join us, we'd love to see you right after our last service, so about noon or so. There'll be lunch on the other side here. So come back, have a fabulous meal, enjoy some fellowship. And the last thing I think I need to tell you about, it's the viewers online. We always forget to welcome you, so I wanted to make a special point to say hello and good morning this morning. We are glad that you are joining us online. Now, as I was preparing for this sermon and looking on my computer the last few weeks, I noticed that there was a lot of Christmas in July. And my sermon today is partly about music and hymns and the sacred songs that we sing. And so it made me think that as we greet one another this morning, I want you to start thinking about your favorite Christmas hymn so that you can share that with someone in just a moment. Now, if you are newer to our community, we have a tradition here at Trinity that we truly hope everyone comes to feel this way. As I say to you, welcome home. All right, now go greet someone around you and share your favorite Christmas hymn with them. You to worship with us as we sing Blessed Assurance, and we sing out our story, not just as individuals, but as a community of faith. Join us in song now.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Oh,
Lord, we have come this morning to praise you as our Savior. And as we do, allow us to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Permeate those places in our lives where we need to encounter you the most, so that we can lift our voices with those around us to declare, great are you, Lord, and to do it in ways that allow others to experience that grace through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord, it's your breath. Your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. All the earth shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you.
As we lift our hearts individually and collectively as a church with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We come to this portion of the service today where we're able to lift up our joys and concerns. Each of us come here today with various concerns on our hearts, things in our lives, but also this is a time of worship and a time to celebrate those things God has blessed us with this week. We ask that you keep those names listed on the screen in your prayers, those of our members in rehab, specialized care, and in hospice care. We also want to keep the ASP group. They left this morning, 23 people, I should say, took off today, and so we keep, as they go up today, left very early this morning as they begin a week of service and mission. As we know that we go to serve others, but we know that God works in our hearts that we serve in that way as well. Please join me in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that the words that we sing and the words that we say in this creed get planted as seeds deep into our hearts. We come to you today, Lord, asking for a time of worship. We ask that you come and be with us, and that we can feel you in a real, tangible way with your presence here with us today. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit grant us wisdom. Wisdom to lead out our lives, wisdom to be your follower, and wisdom to be your church. We know, Lord, that you call us to be here and to be the church, to love and support one another, and receive that love and support from others when we need it. But we know that we don't always do this, but we ask that you show us and challenge us and encourage us and strengthen us along our ways to love one another, to carry one another, to keep those that are in need in our prayers, and that we may show real and tangible love and support, the love and support that you give us, that we know that we are called. Lord, again, we grant and we ask that you come to us and we feel your presence today as through this worship service that we carry with us throughout the week. Lord, we lift up these words that your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All the earth shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise.
Come now where we get to worship in giving. We ask that you join me now in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these gifts that we give back a portion of what you have blessed us with. Lord, we rejoice in God's love, and we rejoice in the blessings that are all around us. We ask that you help us to see these blessings, and we ask that you help us to become them. In Christ's name we pray.
Start twisting, the forest sounds with cedars breaking, the waters see you and start their writhing, from the depths a song is rising, now it's rising from the ground. Holy, 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 holy Lord, the earth is yours, and singing holy, 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 holy Lord, the earth is yours, the earth is yours. It thunders, the ground is shaking, the mighty mountains now are trembling, creation sees you and starts composing, the fields and trees they start rejoicing, now it's rising from the ground. Now it's rising from the ground. Hear us crying out. Hear us crying out.
Focused on Ephesians chapter 4 and the importance of us living into a life-giving community that is deeply rooted in the inexhaustible love of God so that we can keep on becoming better and better imitators of Christ. Specifically, this means our words are supposed to build one another up rather than tear one another down. Our anger is supposed to be expressed in healthy ways rather than suppressed or bottled up fodder for evil or wrath. Our work should be done in benefit all humankind and all of creation, and not merely for our own selfish gain. What's more, we're called to work diligently so that we can be generous with what I believe is a call to be generous with both our money time. And lastly, we are called to speak the truth to one another in love. Now, when we get all of this right, everyone benefits together. Because we keep on growing and becoming our truest selves, both individually and collectively, while we're living into our fullest potential. And then even as I say all of this, I'm fully aware that it sounds a bit like utopia. It's a nice thought, but an unattainable fantasy, if we're going to be real. But it's really not meant to be that way. Not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is. This kind of community that we're talking about is only possible when Christ is the central focus of our lives and the Holy Spirit is given ample room and opportunity to refuel and to refine us. The author wasn't naive either. He knew we would struggle to live this way. Not because we don't care, but because evil is real, which he defines as principalities and forces that seek to destroy all that is good and beautiful and worthwhile in this world. Evil is bent on keeping us fragmented, hurting, and divided. And based on this text, evil works both beyond us and sometimes even within us. Because of this, the author now turns his focus from here on out in this letter to how we can resist evil and sustain the kind of community that Ephesians is proposing. Today, we're going to look at how you tap into the Holy Spirit and some of the things that God has given us to do that, to be refilled, and refined. And next week, Aaron's going to talk about how we use some of the tools that God gives us to be able to keep on fighting the good fight. Which brings us to our passage for today. I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. So hear now the word of God. So be careful to live your life wisely, not foolishly. Take advantage of every opportunity because these are evil times. Because of this, don't be ignorant, but understand the Lord's will. Don't get drunk on wine, which produces depravity. Instead, be filled with the Spirit in the following ways. Speak to each other with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord in your heart. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. And submit to each other out of respect for Christ. The word of God, for us, the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that as the scripture has been read and your word is now proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us. So in a few short sentences there, we were given a wealth of information, beginning with the warning, be careful. Don't walk around as a fool does, failing to acknowledge that evil is real. Instead, take every opportunity you have to walk in wisdom. This idea of walking is a key theme in Ephesians. It shows up actually 7 different times. The author is trying to make sure we are extremely clear that he means for these instructions to not only happen here on Sunday morning, but in every moment of our lives, permeating all of our relationships and all of our activities. We're also called to discern the will of God and follow the Holy Spirit's promptings in the midst of life's ordinary and the extraordinary times. And then, almost out of nowhere, we get this imperative not to get drunk on wine. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, just to be clear, Scripture as a whole does not condemn the use of wine or alcohol per se, nor was that the author's point. The author tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit instead of getting drunk, because drunkenness or anything else that we might abuse, like overeating or shopping or gambling or physical activity and so on, these things fail to really feel the void that we will undoubtedly experience at various times in our life. The literal interpretation of this verse is be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being. In other words, it's expected that if we're faithfully seeking to imitate Christ and trust trying to really live into this life-giving community together, that it is going to continuously empty us of every ounce of grace that we have. And we are going to need to find ways to refill that in healthy ways. Which brings us to our text and how we can refill through the Holy Spirit. Gives us three key ways we can do that. The first is speaking to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music to the Lord in our hearts. Second, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And third, submit to each other. Have a respect for Christ. So let's start with that first imperative. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing. Make a melody in your heart. Not just on Sundays, all the time. Now, it probably seems like we just dive right back into that fantasy of utopia, where the author is suggesting that maybe we are supposed to live in some kind of musical time warp. And this is what came to mind for me of what that might look like if that were to happen. Imagine that. Music literally has the power to change musical piece can be triggered physically and emotionally with just a single lyrical or melodic line. And when music and poetry come together in the form of a song, they can convey truth that is much more expansive than our words alone ever could. These truths are often deeply connected to our memories and to our experiences. When we layer on top of that harmony, well, then the meaning becomes all the more enriched, which is in part why tapping into the Holy Spirit through this portal of music was communally directed. But there's another reason. There are times in each of our lives when we are going to struggle to find a reason to sing. Life stresses become overwhelming. And sometimes the emptiness within us is so cavernous that we literally need others to sing for us. And then as they do, and we allow our empty hearts to be healed and moved by those melodies and harmonies, the Holy Spirit goes to work, renewing and refilling our hope and our courage so we can keep pressing onward. This is why the arts are now included as part of medical study and intervention. And I got to experience the power of this mystery just this week. When Aaron and I and our family returned from our time of renewal on Saturday, I really was feeling relaxed and ready to hit the road running for this fall. Then, in the span of less than 48 hours, I was hit with a series of disappointments, including visiting Stevie Julie, who we've been praying for. She's a six-year-old with terminal brain cancer. And in the few short weeks that I was gone, a lot had changed. The combination of these separate events proved to be a perfect storm for me. But by Tuesday morning, I was Our new Sunlight director, Kevin, is on mission with our ASP team, and I was slated to lead all of the music for our 9:40 service. And yet, as I read through this text and imagined myself standing here as I am right now preaching this text, I was literally thinking to myself, I can't do it. I don't have it in me to sing this week and preach this service. I reached out, and Aaron Culverson didn't hesitate to cover me. And then on Thursday morning, Master Nan and I spent some time with a dear friend that helped a lot. And later I went to the band's rehearsal, and my plan was just to run through a couple of the songs for the following week. I told them I'm not going to be here more than 30 minutes. Then I got there, and the youth music camp was going on, and everybody started playing Great Are You Lord, and I kind of strummed along at the beginning. By the time we got to the chorus, there was a harmony kind of welling up, singing quietly. And by the time we finished, I was in it. I was really singing. I was really playing. I absolutely loved that song. And it lifted me. And that's how this process is supposed to work. When we soak ourselves in sacred music, it's like literally tapping into a barrel of wine or a keg of beer and then pulling down. Sometimes we need to pull really hard, but pulling on that lever and allowing the Holy Spirit to just flood over our weary souls until they are full and even overflowing. That practice where I was only going to be there for 30 minutes turned into an hour, turned into an hour and a half for me, and then I had to scoot out. And I don't know if our band knows the gifts that they gave to me that night, but I can tell you that the way that they cared for me and about me, Andrew, Aaron, Trent, Kevin, Tanner, Trenton, these are not just amazing musicians that we have. They're amazing musicians. And they're not the only ones here at Trinity. There are many more of you. that came from one of our Sunlight songs last time, and it literally made me laugh out loud, and it put a smile on my face, and he's absolutely right. He's doing exactly what the text said. Did you see that? And, like, he was responding with a line. I do have to keep my head up. And yet, God has proven to me that he has surrounded me with people when I can't keep my head up. There are others that will sing for me and over me until I can find my way back into the flow of that melody or even find a harmony of my own. Folks, that is what church is all about. That is what the book of Ephesians is trying to help us cultivate as a community of faith. Our sermon series is titled Together for the Sake of the World for a Reason. We need each other. We need our psalms and our hymns and our spiritual songs from the ancient past, from the more recent past, like our United Methodist hymns, and even the present contemporary music. Together, the breadth of this music captures not only the traditions of our faith, but it becomes the rhythm for our future. These are our battle hymns. They keep us marching onward in our mission as we seek to resist evil and wisely walk in the Spirit. What's more, they help us to tap into that Holy Spirit when we need it most, so we're not just marching, but we're marching on, able to say authentically, it is well with my soul. Which brings us to the other two ways the author encourages us to tap into the Holy Spirit. The second one was through giving thanks to God through all circumstances, and then submitting to one another out of respect and honor for Christ. So as these melodies of our faith are meant to unite our voices and lift our spirits and set us on this path towards healing and wholeness, gratitude becomes the means by which we continually invite God into our everyday, ordinary circumstances. Because of this, we are called to give thanks to God in the midst of all things, both the good and the bad. That does not mean we thank God for the bad. We thank God in spite of the bad, so that the Holy Spirit can get to work weaving together all things for our good. And when we feel least capable of giving that kind of thanks, the Spirit is the one who enables us to tap into the stream of grace so that authentic gratitude can rise up within us, even in the most difficult of life storms. Which brings me to the final idea that the author addresses, this idea of submitting to one another as a way of honoring Christ. The word submit appears throughout Ephesians a number of times, but specifically it is a focus of Ephesians chapter 5. For our purposes today, it's sufficient to say that submit is rooted in this concept of mutual loving care. It's expressed in the ways that we listen to one another and are willing to let the needs of others be just as important as our own needs. When we get this right, the fruit of the Spirit, like love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness, all of these things manifest themselves up in abundance. And based on my earlier example and stories, I know all of you could tell as well. We've clearly got pockets of community here at Trinity that are doing this right. They're doing it exceedingly well. And for that truth, it is right to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. But there's another truth that's equally true here at Trinity. As great as we sometimes are at living into God's vision for the church, there are also some things that have been said and done by some of us here at Trinity that my grandmother would say are downright ugly. Consequently, I'm personally aware of a good number of people who have left or are contemplating leaving precisely because they have struggled to feel welcome, to find a place where their gifts and passions can be used and make a difference, or to feel like they can find real community. There are people who have left Trinity to go on to other churches and find a new church home. And as disappointing as that is, we know that it's true because the majority of new members we receive are coming in from another church as well. Unfortunately, though, there are others that have been so wounded that they have left or are contemplating leaving to go nowhere. They're going to join the millions of other de-churched people that want nothing more to do with organized religion. In 2015, the Barna Group reported that approximately 3,500 people, that's the same number that happened on Acts 2, approximately 3,500 people were leaving the church every day. That's worldwide, obviously, not the church, but worldwide. And that caused the closure of over 10,000 churches. That was in 2015. That number's only increased since then. So what do? Well, we're called to be wise. We're called to lean into God. So how do we reverse this trend? For starters, I believe it begins with us repenting. And we stop being ugly. We also stop assuming that it's the de-church people's fault for not trying hard enough or taking things too personally. In other words, we take their hurts seriously. At the same time, we really recognize that the worldwide mass exodus to nowhere is a serious problem that's going to require serious change. And while we can't say it never because God is the God of all things, while we probably can't change the worldwide statistics, we can make changes here. And that will begin by asking some tough questions and really listening to the answers of those who have been hurt. And by submitting to one another as a way of honoring Christ, as a way of honoring Christ's sacrifice on the cross that wasn't just for some of us. It was for each and every one of us. Only then will we have a fighting chance of coming together for the sake of the world and re-envisioning a way of being Trinity that honors our past while also makes a way for our future where everyone who comes through these doors, we can't affect the rest of the world, but people who come through these doors, no matter how long they stay, we can be a place where they encounter God's grace. And if they stay for a while, we welcome them. And if they move on, may they never go nowhere again. Now, don't hear me wrong. Trinity has been a beacon of hope in this community on more than one occasion. And we are getting some things right. That's why I believe that we really can live into our full potential and make a way into this future. And who knows? Perhaps we're perfectly poised for just such a time as this, to become a beacon of truth and hope for other churches, to become a model of what it looks like to turn around that decline and see exponential growth, all for God's glory. For this to be our reality, we must be willing to take seriously the instructions of Ephesians and to routinely pull down, tap into that Holy Spirit until the power of the resurrection is flooding every aspect of our lives and our ministries. We can do this. We can be the church that God created us to be in ways that bring healing and wholeness and create real sanctuary for any and every weary soul that's looking for a place to come in from the world and encounter God. So this week, I'm challenging you to join me in prayerfully considering how you, how I, as individuals, and how we as a church can do just that. And if we can figure out how to get this right, well, then maybe we just might find ourselves whistling while we work. But even if we don't, I am sure that we will be singing our story, praising our Savior all the day long as we begin to see others join us in that so that all creatures of our God and King come to know God's grace. Amen. us this meal, which is why he took bread, gave thanks to the Father, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this and remember me." And he took the cup, and he gave thanks to the Father, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance." Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning, having lifted up songs of praise and inviting your Spirit to be among us. We pray now that you just pour out your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us. If we came in empty, Lord, may we sense you filling us even in this moment. And Lord, for those who are needing to find a reason to sing, may the rest of us who have every reason to sing do so all the more boldly, so that they can join their voice with ours. Lord, help us to be aware of the ways that you are at work in our lives and to be thankful in the midst of every circumstance, inviting you into those circumstances so that you can redeem them. And Lord, we need your help. As we seek to submit to one another, we need you to help teach us how to do that. Sometimes we get it right and we do it well, and sometimes we don't. And so where we have caused injury, we ask for your forgiveness. Teach us how to never do that to someone again so that they end up in the end. Pour out your Spirit on this bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ that makes us the body of Christ in the world, one with you, one with each other, in ministry to all, until you come again in final victory and we feast together in celebration with all those who have come before us and all those who will come after us. Make us instruments of your peace, Lord. Bring us the peace that we need first to do that on this earth. And in all this we pray and give you thanks in Jesus' name. I'd like to invite those who are going to be helping us serve communion to go ahead and come up and do that now. And as they do, I'll share with you that you do not need to be a member of our church or any church, really, to come and partake in this meal. It's the Lord's meal, and he invites you to come and receive grace that will meet you where you are and nourish and sustain you for the call God has in your life and who we are as a community. We'll do that too. So as you come forward, we're going to invite you to start with the front rows and make your way back. There'll be a pair of servers in front of each section. You can exit through the left, come forward. We'll tear off a piece of bread and hand it to you. You dip that into the cup and then you can eat it. You can return to your seat. You can use our kneeling rails if you would like. You can lift up your voice with the band, or you can let that music just sing over you if that is what you need this morning. Whatever it is, God is here to meet you in the moment. If you need gluten-free, we have that. Come. All is ready. Or will be shortly.
Like a river, attend my way when sorrows like sea.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. But the beginning chorus speaks of God singing his zealous love over us. So join us now in worship.
Thank you.
You go forth from here, and it is my sincere hope and prayer that you go forth from here having experienced the melodies of our faith lifting your soul. And as you go out, give thanks to God for all the ways that you do observe Him at work in your life, and allow Him to get in there on those other details and weave them together for your good. And let's learn how to submit to one another so not just some of us experience God's grace, but all of us. May we go out together for the sake of the world to be the church that God has called and created us to be, empowered by the resurrection in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
You're singing the love of all your children.